The Bob Siegel Show, sponsored by Bob Siegel.
The Bob Siegel Show is brought to you in part by Primetime Media Group and the law offices of Matthew Simone.
Recurring themes on The Bob Siegel Show can also be found on his online column, Forbidden Table Talk.
It's time now for the Bob Siegel Show, a religious open forum where all questions are welcome. And now, here's your host, Christian apologist, Bob Siegel.
And this is Bob Siegel. So, you'd like to believe in God, but you wonder, doesn't God care about the Kurds in Syria? Those poor Kurds who were our allies whom we deserted? Well, my friend, God cares about everyone. As for his will in foreign policy, the Bible is very clear in general about God's moral imperatives. He also calls on us to take the most loving action based upon the dynamics of a situation. Unfortunately, sometimes the dynamics are such that it is not always clear what the best decision is, even though obviously we should always strive for the best decision. There have certainly been times in history where God has sent prophets to explain what he's doing with certain nations, but short of that, we have only our opinions. Those who claim to always know God's will are fools. The Syria issue is complex. I agree with the concerns of those who do not want to see ISIS return. I also understand the president's concern about us not staying in places indefinitely and not feeling it's our job to police the world. As for the Kurds, there are good Kurds and bad Kurds. No, we should not stay forever, but yes, there are good ways to leave, probably better ways to leave. And Trump, to his credit, has already made some adjustments. Of course, the big news this morning is that in the midst of all this, the head of ISIS has been killed. And so well-intentioned people of high conscience may respectfully disagree on this matter. Having said that, I find it somewhat ironic that many who scream about Trump deserting the Syrian border scream even louder when the president seeks to defend our own border. Of course, the explanation is simple. If Trump is for it, they are against it. Now, I used to openly joke that the best way for President Trump to get his wall built was to say he was against the wall. Suddenly the Democrats would be for it. Well, President Trump is now making that exact same joke at the rallies. This same phenomenon, of course, explains the so-called impeachment proceeding. Impeachment is supposed to be a consequence of high crimes and misdemeanors. Oh, but not for Democrats. For Democrats, it has been impeachment in search of a crime. No surprise. For quite some time now, there has been little love lost between the left and the Constitution. Dems were screaming impeachment since the night of the president's election. The night! It's basically fill in the blank. If they have to, they'll impeach the guy for jaywalking. One would think they'd just wait for the 2020 election instead of continuing to whine about the 2016 election. Speaking of elections, breaking news. Breaking news, Congressman Tim Ryan is dropping out of the 2020 presidential race. People are shocked. People are devastated. People are trying to remember exactly who he is. But nobody ever forgets the identity of today's recurring guest, National Review contributor Mike Friedenberg. Mike, welcome to our program.
Well, Bob, thanks for having me.
So, good to have you.
As per usual, it's been a busy news week, a busy news month, a busy news year. There's never a slow day with President Trump in office.
Not one since he got into the election, actually.
No. I'm just wondering if people are going to sort of have a withdrawals, you know, once he leaves office. I mean, it's like being on a treadmill. You know,
well, let's just hope he doesn't leave office because this is the best president we've had in our lifetime.
I think. Two terms. But maybe, okay, when he leaves office after two terms.
Well, that's, at least let him be there for two terms.
So, yeah, there's a few things I wanted to talk about this evening. But before I plunge into a very deep and substantive topic, I want to briefly talk about William Barr's recent speech to the Notre Dame class, Notre Dame school, last week or so, last few days. And I actually, today spent some time watching it, the video of it, and then going through the transcript. The transcript is available at the Department of Justice website, and the video is available on YouTube. If you put in a search into YouTube and say, William Barr, Notre Dame, it'll come up first. And I personally was tremendously encouraged by listening to it. If you have doubts about where Barr's coming from, if you had doubts, is this a person of integrity? Is he going to be fighting for you? Is he going to roll over? Is he just going to kind of take the easier path? If you watch this speech, you will be very, very comforted that you have a fighter in there, a person of tremendous intellect who understands at the deepest philosophical levels what's at stake.
So you do believe, based on this speech, that he will file criminal charges against
I do believe people? He'll file criminal charges.
Against Clapper, Brennan, Comey?
Against the people where he
Because they already had a chance to file one against Comey, and they didn't.
Well, against Comey, but remember, that was those, even Joe Geneva, who's been a very strongly believing that the charges need to be filed, said that those charges have been very weak against Comey, this category of charges. Now, there's the whole new set of charges for FISA, but regardless, he's also not only has a deep intellect and very strong Christian principles, but he's a shrewd guy. He's been around Washington, and he understands that if he had filed those charges against Comey weak, they could have gone either way. There's people that were very, very strong conservative legal analysts saying, you know what? And that had not gone well. That would have soured his whole case against much stronger charges. So he has to watch.
Do you think he's going to go after him with the FISA?
I think he's going to go after a lot of people now. Is he going to be successful? I mean.
Well, that's going to depend on judges and juries.
Judges and juries, but also.
Grand jury. Will the grand jury even indict, or will it be a deep state grand jury?
Right now, he is fighting to get information out of the Department of Justice. He's fighting
And he's the head of the Department of Justice.
But they're ignoring. They're everything they can do, they are opposing and fighting.
I am so tired of this apparatus in Washington that has taken on a life of its own.
It is truly the deep state. You know, some people think that was, a fever dream of conspiracy theorists. There is genuinely a deep state. It's not like
tentacles go back to Barack Obama.
And it's part of the fact of having a gigantic bureaucracy. You sort of are going to naturally have something that looks like a deep state when you have such a massive bureaucracy like we have in these areas. But you have the CIA, you have the NSA, all these groups.
Well, and you know what, Mike, and it goes back to Barack Obama. No matter who does get prosecuted, I don't believe he will. He deserves to be prosecuted over this, even though he's a former president. Well, I don't believe it's going to happen.
It probably won't. But the thing about it is if we can actually,
we can at least get Brennan and some of them. That'll be good.
If Trump can make it back to be reelected, then Barr will have the time he needs to really clean house. Because if we don't clean house, if we don't win this battle with the deep state this time around, and it's going to take another term from Trump to get this done.
Well, but Mike, if they don't start indicting somebody, Trump may not get reelected.
Well, that's
why the impeachment hearing's going on, because these people don't want to get caught in what they're doing.
I believe there will be some indictments. I believe they will start to ramp up prosecutions. I don't believe that will not be anywhere near.
They may still be in the courts, but we've got to at least make some charges.
And
I'm tired of hearing we got to wait for the IG report any day for the last 2 years. Any day, it's coming. It's coming.
And
the IG report.
If Trump does not get reelected, no matter what Barr's doing now, and he's got to do everything he can,
then it won't happen.
Because all the prosecutions that are in flight will disappear. Well, when the Democrat
comes in. Look at all the brazen disregard for the law that the deep state did prior to the election, you go, how could they have possibly thought they'd get away with this? You realize it's very simple. They were not expecting Trump to win. Nobody was ever going to find out. And when he won, it was circle the wagon.
And they did, and they were very effective. They had, I cannot say this, but for whatever reason, Sessions did nothing to help clean up the corruption. Fat.
He would have done better if he'd appointed a mannequin.
No, he facilitated the Mueller investigation coming into effect. He is responsible for the Mueller investigation. Him and him alone, Sessions, him and him alone is responsible for that investigation.
Well, I don't think he wanted it, but it wouldn't have happened if he hadn't allowed it.
Okay. Listen. He could have stepped in and stopped at any time, that whole investigation. He's the one that's blindsided Trump by recusing himself. He's the one that appointed Rosenstein to be the person who then went ahead and initiated the investigation. So, and then when the Republicans were in control of the House, they sent numerous requests of information over, and the DOJ and the FBI, with impunity, completely stonewalled them. And we had Sessions
Paul
in there.
Paul Ryan did absolutely nothing about it. He's very culpable.
Who is the person who could have facilitated getting that done? Sessions. He did nothing.
Either somebody talked him into believing he needed to recuse himself when he really didn't, or they had something on him, which I've often wondered about.
I've wondered about that. So, but back to William Barr. Let me highly recommend anybody listening to this right now, go watch his speech on YouTube and watch the entire speech. It's only about 40 minutes long, including introductions, and you will be encouraged.
Well, don't go right now. Finish listening to our show first, then go watch it.
Okay, but so there's that. So now, you had talked about the Kurds and the big hullabaloo over Trump pulling some troops out of there. Well, let's just kind of keep things in perspective. We had a few hundred troops in there, and we're pulling them out now. And at the same time as we're pulling troops out of the eastern Syria area, we're sending in thousands of troops into Saudi Arabia. So we're not exactly leaving the Middle East yet.
Well, and then there's the big news today with this guy that our special forces went in and took out.
Right. But the Kurdish situation, first of all, let me make a disclaimer here. I am no expert on the Middle East. I haven't stayed at a Motel 6, and I've never played a Mideast expert on TV.
Wait, you're losing me. I'm missing the Motel 6 joke. What does that have to do with the Middle East?
It's just that if you stay there...
Well, it's about as comfortable as the Middle East. I can say that about Motel 6.
There's a joke that if staying at a Motel 6 means you're an expert. It's a kind of an obscure joke.
Okay.
But regardless.
But that one went...
However, I have been reading up on it, and I think that there's some facts that President Trump is obviously aware of, and his people, foreign policy advisors, are aware of, that I think that maybe the general audience may not be aware of, so that I want to just sort of discuss some of those facts.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so number one is when we talk about the Kurds, there's sort of a tendency to talk about this blob, the Kurds. The Kurds situation is actually a very complex situation. For example, probably a lot of people don't know that there's 3 to 4 million Kurds who are loyal members of the Turkish community. They live in Turkey. They're Kurdish, Turkish people that are loyal to Turkey. There's Kurds there. Those are Kurds. There's Kurds that have long-time alliances with the United States. But the Kurds we're talking about right now are a Marxist faction of the Kurds that has been labeled by our State Department, European countries, and Turkey as being terrorists. We weren't working with these Kurds until 2014 when Obama, because he was working so closely with Iran and selling out. Him working with Iran infuriated Turkey. And that may have actually helped Erdogan, the Islamic extremists in Erdogan's sector, may have actually helped them gain power to do the purging.
So Obama may have accidentally done something right.
Well, no, actually.
Well, he did something wrong, but good might have come out of it.
Well, actually, the purge got rid of the pro-Western people out of Erdogan's government. So it helped do the wrong thing.
Oh, it helped do the wrong. Okay. Well, I gave it a shot. We'll be right back.
As if you haven't figured it out by now, Bob is mildly opinionated about the ultimate issues of life, but Bob also respects the opinions of others. To offer your own viewpoint or to challenge Bob with a thought-provoking question, give us a call at 1-888-344-1170, 1-888-344-1170. You can also reach Bob through Facebook, Twitter, or questions@bobsiegel.net. When you trust the care of your children to others, it's comforting to know they share the same Christian values, that what you teach your children at home is also taught in their preschool environment. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is an all-inclusive preschool where the staff ministers to all children of all abilities, including children with special needs, through a curriculum developed by the owners and designed for the preschool-age child 3 to 5. During these preschool years, your children will make important developmental gains, as well as social and emotional development that'll be the foundation for their overall success in life. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is a state-licensed, Bible-believing, Bible-teaching preschool and a nonprofit 501c3 organization. Contact us now at WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com and secure a space for your preschooler. WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com or call 619-440-1044. 619-440-1044. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool.
AM 96.1 FM, The Answer. I'm your host, Bob Siegel. On Friday afternoon, I spoke at a worship service. There was a sign in the room which said, "Do not place anything on top of the piano." This sign was placed on top of the piano. Say hello again to Mike Friedenberg.
Well,
you know, I think I misunderstood the point you were making. I thought you were saying that Obama so infuriated Turkey over the deal he made with Iran, that it made them want to work with America and then ultimately Trump. That was the point I thought you were making.
No,
so I must have misunderstood you.
No, it was actually, no, it actually may have given the folks, the anti-Western folks in the Turkish government and Erdogan himself, more leverage to do the purge they did in 2016 to get rid of all the pro-Western people. You saw a shift, significant shift to a more Islamist-type government with Turkey away from a more moderate, you know, Islamic view. And that could have been the result of 2014's Obama's disastrous decision to team with a terrorist organization that had done terrorist raids against Turkey. That did not make them happy. This is the Kurds we're talking about.
Right, and of course, the Kurds are not a uniform bloc.
Right, so the Kurds, they're an ethnic minority. They're spread across the Middle East from Syria in the west through Turkey and Iraq to Iran in the east. And there's various political groupings. Okay, now, America has a longtime ally with the Kurds in the Kurdistan regional government in northern Iraq. Okay, so they're in northern Iraq. And they have developed sort of a power sharing, some semi-autonomy working within the Iraqi government. Okay, so there's them. Then you have the Kurdistan Democratic Republic and the Patriotic Union of Kurdistan. And the KRG's Peshmerga militia has fought alongside U.S. troops in Iraq. So there is the Kurds that have been our allies. But the ones we are talking about right now, the ones that were responsible for fighting against ISIS, was the Marxist communist faction of the Kurds. The Marxist communist faction that was labeled by our own State Department as being terrorists, that have attacked Turkey. So when we did that, when Obama had let things get so far with ISIS that he desperately went to this group, and then what he did is he had them rename themselves so they didn't sound like a Marxist faction. He had them, what was their name he renamed them to? He, working with Obama, he advised them to change their name the Democratic Union Party, but regardless, okay, so.
But then, just to play the devil's advocate, they did help us.
Oh, yeah, though we aligned.
And we can get into the enemy of my enemy is my friend, exactly. So there is that stress.
So much like we did with Stalin in World War II, aligned with them to defeat, at the time, a more immediate, greater threat. That doesn't mean that we're going to become buddy buddies with Stalin at the end of World War II. And at the end of World War II, we went our ways.
Buddy buddies with the end of Stalin.
Right. And Stalin was Stalin killed hundreds of times more people.
George Patton wanted to turn and attack Russia as soon as we were done conquering Germany.
So this whole situation was created by Obama, and it came out of him pushing U.S. policy away from Turkey. Turkey is a NATO ally. Obama did all sorts of things to alienate Turkey, including the $100 million to Iraq, signing that nuclear deal with Iraq. That infuriated Turkey. So here's an ally with a NATO ally, Turkey, and Obama gave aid and comfort to the anti-Western forces within Turkey to help provide the rationale for the purging of pro-Western forces out of Turkey. So this all goes back to Trump's coming in.
Of course, Obama allowed ISIS to percolate by calling them the JV team. So it wasn't too helpful.
So we get to the point where, yes, we did ally with a group. By the way, the ISIS people were taking over the territory that the Marxist Kurds thought was theirs. So we came in with our massive air power, massive support, and help them take back their territory. It was a huge win for them. They benefit from this relationship.
But it was a huge win for us, too.
Well, yes. Okay,
ISIS would be the greater of those two evils.
Yeah. But to sit there saying now that
we shouldn't have to stay there indefinitely.
So what are we going to sit here? So what are these people saying? That we should continue to support the people that a NATO ally hates, that has committed terrorist acts against a NATO ally. And then what? What if we lose? Turkey is a key linchpin in terms of our strategy against Iran. Do we want to get in a war with Turkey over Marxist terrorist Kurds? The second largest army in NATO. Do you know what the second largest army in NATO is? Take a guess.
Turkey.
Yes.
I had to believe you were going for Turkey.
Yes.
There.
Okay. That would have been a setup if I hadn't been going, right, Bob? Okay. So Trump is looking at that, and even though Turkey has done some, under Erdogan, has done some things to alienate us, the thing is, they're at least still playing some ball with us, and we don't want to be in a war with Turkey right now. And if we were to sit there and just be explicitly protecting these terrorist Marxist Kurds against Turkey and killing Turkish troops, that's craziness.
Well, now I agree with that, but then I also heard that some of the ISIS prisoners are escaping as a result. And I'm kind of wondering, I don't think we should be over there nation building, but for the few hundred troops we had there, was this the best way to leave? Just a question. Like I said myself at the beginning, it's very complex. We'll let Mike address that more when we return. Bob Siegel. With the wiring in your home, you don't want to mess around with some unknown electrician. For all you know, he may have gotten his license by sending in 3 serial box tops.
Hey, these things happen. There's nothing wrong with my wiring. Houses burned down. You wanted a guarantee? You should have ordered the deluxe package.
Folks, play it smart. Call WNS Electric Incorporated. They specialize in contracting and repair. From troubleshooting to remodeling to circuit breakers and fuses, WNS takes a skilled but personal interest in your home at affordable rates. I use them myself, and I wouldn't call anyone else. Call 619-447-8785. That's 447-8785 for WNS Electric. License number 480539. WNS Electric.
Is it really true that there will be peace in the Middle East if we just have a two-state solution? Or are some people instead challenging Israel's right to exist at all? Is it true that Jews have no historical claim to the Holy Land and stole that land from a people called the Palestinians? Bob Siegel's latest book challenges the historical revision of the Israeli-Palestinian situation and shows how Israel's struggle may soon be the struggle of the entire world. The Holocaust Against Israel by Bob Siegel, available on Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com.
Welcome back to the Bob Siegel Show. Our theme, Christianity and its relationship with politics and pop culture. Always good to be joined by National Review contributor Mike Friedenberg.
Well, Bob, going back to your question just before we took the little break there. Here we are. We're talking about a policy that would make a NATO ally matter. But the NATO ally hasn't been all that great recently because of what the actions Erdogan has taken.
So we understand the mixed feelings about
it. Well, there's so it is the Middle East is a snake pit, and anybody that says they know the best policy at any given time, they may believe it, but there's a good chance they're wrong. So with that said, I will say I'm not sure what the best thing here to do is. What I'm trying to say is that we have not heard of anything I'm talking about right now in the media from the Republicans or in the media right now about who the Kurds really are. And here's the thing is, I will say this. I believe that the ISIS escaping, and by the way, almost all of them have been recaptured, by the way. You did hear that, right?
I did not hear that.
Okay. Now there's still 100 loose. Okay. 100 loose, whatever. That's a number. But regardless, I believe that was done to embarrass and to create the argument that Trump should continue to support this group
but
of Kurds.
I guess I'm just asking, leaving a couple of hundred troops there just to keep an eye, even on the ISIS prisoners in the oil fields, is that really the same as getting involved in a 1,000-year-old conflict between Turkey and the Kurds? I don't view them as exactly the same.
No, I don't. And you know, right now, that is, as of this morning or yesterday, that is what Trump has revised his policy to keep a few hundred.
Yes, he has made some adjustments, like okay. We said at the top of the program. But, and do you agree with those adjustments that he's made?
It's probably fine. It's probably fine. I don't really, as I said, it's such a mess there. But
that's all that concerns me. Just a little something. I don't think leaving a few hundred troops there is the same as us getting embedded in there for a long time.
As long as our commitment is not to be protecting those terrorist Marxist Kurds from the Turkish troops.
Yeah, and not to be getting involved in someone else's revolutionary war or civil war or any war, and not to be nation building.
Okay, so yeah, so there's that there. So there is, I mean, what Obama did, he really did. He did take a policy, our Middle East policy, and push it toward a pro-Iran policy, big time. And that created a lot of the problems we're facing right now. And that's something that's being lost in this whole debate. It goes back to once again, we have poor old President Donald Trump cleaning up messes that people left on his plate, left for him when they left office. This is a mess created by Obama. And the whole, and here's an interesting, very interesting thing. Erdogan in 2014, 2015 had reached out to this particular Kurdish faction trying to create a peaceful resolution. The response was to kill 4 Kurdish police officers, which destroyed the peace process. So now I'm thinking about Erdogan, and then we have Obama, you know, I mean, and he probably did that on the basis that, you know, he's getting pressured by the Obama administration because they started this pro Marxist Kurd policy and working with them to create a better PR, you know, image for them by having their change their name in 2014. So, once again, to go back to, I believe that there's some argument to be made that it was Obama administration actions that led to the estrangement we have now with Turkey, at least led partially. It helped tip the balance that way. And, you know, and that's the mess we have there. So we have a huge mess there. And then we have, you know, the foreign policy establishment, which I include the military industrial congressional complex, which does exist, has been, even though we haven't been putting a lot of boots on the grounds in the last year or so, fighting, we have some going in Afghanistan, but not there. We have been spending massive amounts on airstrikes, bombs, missiles to support the attack against ISIS. Hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars, if not into the billions, you know, over a period of years. This all that stuff has to be replaced and bought from defense contractors. And I hate to say it, but We have a massive military that is not used.
I know this has been an ongoing concern of yours, the military-industrial complex.
Congressional complex, because they have a lock on Congress. Nobody, not even the Democrats, really go up against it. And it's massive amounts of money from defense contractors to spend huge amounts of money. They had a general, General Mullen, getting up there saying, you know, this is irresponsible. A general is getting up saying, if Erdogan had his way, he would slaughter all the Kurds. Well, either he's just lying or he's ignorant, because they have millions and millions of Kurds living peacefully in Turkey right now that Erdogan has
My
not slaughtered.
My understanding is that Turkey's saying they basically want some kind of buffer zone. Right.
Yeah. So, but let's get back. Let's not leave the Mullen case behind. So that's the kind of
extreme. So when I keep hearing about ethnic cleansing, right. that's way over the top.
But that was an entirely 100% irresponsible statement by a major political, you know, military figure. And that's the kind of crazy inflammatory rhetoric we're getting right now.
Too much hyperbole gets into
this. Not too much. It's way over the top.
Yeah.
Because either it's a lie or it shows utter ignorance. I can't believe that a person that's full time involved. So this is a person who said that to put pressure on President Trump to maintain the foreign policy status quo. But let's talk about the foreign policy status quo that we've had. The great experts in the State Department that's been running things here, you know, from the, you know, Reagan era on through up to the Bush and the Clintons and the Obamas, you know, well, what have they accomplished? So post Reagan and moving into the Bush eras, you know, Bush, George W. and George H.W., right? We've had George H.W., then George W. We've had a policy that transferred trillions of dollars of capital to China, a policy transferred tens of millions of dollars to China, and a policy transferred trillions. This is not exaggeration. Trillions of dollars of intellectual property, including some of our most sophisticated secret technology, was co-opted.
Now, what do you think was motivating that? It sounds so outrageous.
Because we had the brains in the State Department talking about a policy of interaction and active interaction, because they believed that if we interacted with China economically, that we could bring them along to adopt liberal free market policies, you know, like we have here, that we would, you know, at engagement, the policy of engagement. And it did work. What happened is the Chinese communist leadership cynically said, oh, that sounds great. And then what we did is we actually propped up a communist government. And for the period of time we were doing that, we actually made their economy, which is not a market economy, look better than a market economy.
And a superpower in the world, too.
So this is the foreign policy establishment that is angry with Trump. They were angry when he came out against China.
Okay, we'll be right back. This is Bob Siegel for Skyline Church. Jesus said that his people should be the salt of the earth and the light of the world. Some churches take that mandate seriously, others, sadly, do not. I am happy to announce that there are many good, serious churches in San Diego, and Skyline is certainly one of them. Outreaches to the community and the world at large are carried on by our missionary family. Their ministries to the poor, the shut-ins, and the emotionally scarred. There are groups and classes for all ages, from children to middle school to high school, college, young adult, and senior citizen. Skyline is also on the cutting edge of today's social issues. We mobilize people and help them to be a better voice for the changing culture around us.
Skyline Church.
Keep turning, all right. Which way is it going to turn in our near future? More to the left, more to the right? Always appreciate the analysis of Mike Friedenberg.
So the reason I want to talk about the foreign policy establishment is because this is the group of people that is furious at Donald Trump coming in and not kowtowing to their wisdom. Okay? Now, and I want to point out that their wisdom hasn't really necessarily been all that effective and all that great. We could argue back and forth about, I personally have some serious doubts whether getting rid of Saddam Hussein was actually the best thing in the Middle East. It created a massive vacuum. He was ruthless enough and brutal enough to keep the sectarian violence down. He was a very strong counter to Iran. There's arguments that are way, but the bottom line is when we did it, and then we went in and we destroyed the military infrastructure in Iraq, which created massive problems for us and made it very hard for them to reassume control. So there's horrible things that have been done, and on the advice of these elite foreign policy establishment types. These are the people that, you know, gave us that really created China to be the superpower that it is today because of their wrong policy about engagement. These are the people that have been arguing to keep the status quo on trade, a status quo that was established after World War II to help European countries recover from the devastation of World War II. Well, they were still supporting that status quo in 2016, 2000, you know, when Trump came into office in 2017. So they are the ones that, despite every president saying we're going to, you know, make, bring back a, you know, switch the capital of Israel, that were
make Jerusalem the capital. Move
of Israel,
our embassy to Jerusalem.
That argued against it, saying it was too provocative. For decades, that there was this promise, and it didn't happen. Well, Trump ignored them and went ahead and did it. So these people, these are professionals. These are people that have degrees and PhDs. Their egos have been horribly damaged by this bumpkin, Trump, coming in and not paying attention to them. And that's how they feel. Now, I'm not calling Donald Trump a bumpkin, but that's how they feel about
it. But you know what? People called Lincoln a bumpkin, too,
yeah,
including Republicans on his own cabinet. It was very, very similar. And Lincoln kept outsmarting everybody that thought they were smarter than him.
So my point on this is that just because, and it's really, really sad to see Republicans jumping on board with this without pointing out the links to all the problems back to Obama, just to come out and not acknowledge, I mean, frankly, any Republican comes out and talks about this, you know, the Kurds thing, and not acknowledging that they're a group that was identified by our State Department as being terrorists, that they were a group that committed terrorist acts against Turkey, that they're Marxist, and you're out there talking. There's a certain level of dishonesty and disingenuousness about that.
At the very least, they could acknowledge that it's complex, that there's good Kurds and bad Kurds, and stop with all this ethnic cleansing rhetoric.
Right. And the thing about it is that so it is complex. The Kurds we're talking about are folks that we don't really want our troops dying to support. Okay, we don't. And as bad as some of the things Turkey has done, us defending these Turks, these Kurds, I mean these Kurds against Turkey, could end up to have Turkey not drop out of NATO. It would push them closer to Russia. Okay. How does that help us? That in the big macro picture, it looks stupid.
Yeah, I'm mostly concerned about us still keeping ISIS under control, but that's got to be done without getting in the middle of this
big
other conflict.
ISIS is one thing. Iran's the major player we want to keep.
Well, that's true, because that's the sponsor of all these groups is Iran.
So,
yeah.
And so Turkey is a major power base there that we have counted on against.
Yeah, and Turkey's kind of in the Russia category, too. The enemy of my enemy is my friend, because I don't have any great love for Turkey, but right. I understand what you're saying.
But prior to you know, the purge by Erdogan.
Right.
Turkey was
on a better road. Yeah.
They have a major air force. They have major. They're a powerful military.
They've been
force.
A very useful military.
They've been very useful
force. Times,
so yep. I just think that us, you know, for us to sit there, and then as I said, the disingenuous of having these, you know, your generals and foreign policy experts, I put in quotes around it, coming out and just, you know, covering up the complexity of this whole thing. When you cover up the kind of complexity that they're doing, it really is lying. It's the lie of omission by not mentioning who the Kurds really are, because most people in the American public don't know that this is a Marxist terrorist organization that's been a major thorn in the side for a NATO ally for a long time. That's lying.
Yeah, and even if they legitimately, sincerely disagree with the president, can't they give him some credit and look at all the great foreign policies that he has done? To just jump on this anti-Trump bandwagon every time there's an opportunity, I have a real problem with that.
Well, too. They don't want to give him credit because everything he's done, he's gone against their advice. Trump coming after NATO, saying pay more money. The State Department was furious that he came out with that position. The career diplomatic professionals were furious with Trump for coming out and asking NATO to pay their fair share. So since World War II, we have spent more money to defend Europe against Soviet Union and defend themselves. And then
and our State Department's been corrupt since World War II. The State Department was mostly responsible for ignoring absolute intelligence we were getting about the Holocaust and denying a lot of Jewish immigrants passage into America.
So now, it may make sense to keep those few hundred troops there for various reasons, and I'm not denying that.
But the reason shouldn't be to get between Turkey and the
No, Kurds. We don't listen. In the world history, having temporary alliances is normal. Just because you have a temporary alliance where you have a mutually beneficial goal that you achieve it doesn't mean that you're on the hook to defend them forever.
Yeah.
You know, and
Colin Powell's line of if we break it, we bought it. I never liked that line.
No. And as I said, this was something that Obama put in place in 2014 due to his unwillingness.
Narcissistic, egotistical, ignorant, arrogant thinking.
Yeah. I mean, he's the one that helped bring about the ISIS caliphate. So he desperately had to find a group of people that he could work with to battle the ISIS. And pragmatically speaking, the choice he made was a good pragmatic one, given where he was. But to be able to work with them, he had to whitewash who they were and what they were about. So that, as I say, that's just, you know, an area there that now I will mention that, if you want to learn more about this, I found a fantastic article on The Federalist by Lee Smith. I'm going to mention that because if you read this article, you will get a basic primer as to what's happening in the Middle East. It doesn't mean that you're going to necessarily agree of what the best way to go is, but you will get some of the basic facts you need to have. Okay. And it's on The Federalist.
More with Mike Friedenberg when we return to The Bob Siegel Show. This is Bob Siegel. Buying or selling a home? Feeling overwhelmed? Facing what seems like unlimited choices? Believe me, your first and most important step is to find the right person to represent you and look out for your interests. Somebody who will help you save money while buying or make money for you when you sell. So listen carefully as I offer the best housing advice you're ever going to hear. What you want to do is contact Realty Executives All Area, and you want to ask for my good friend, Fred Falduti. Fred has managed literally hundreds of real estate transactions in the San Diego area and has handled just about any scenario you can imagine. Believe me, folks, you don't want to navigate the landmines of this economy without a skilled and experienced guide. But Fred is so much more. He will look after your interests as if they were his own. Give him a call or contact him online. Fred Falduti with Realty Executives All Area, 619-719-7717. That's 619-719-7717 or fredfalduti.com.
Hi, this is Dana Wright here to announce that Bob Siegel has finally entered the 21st century. It had to happen sooner or later. Now, Bob's popular book, I'd Like to Believe in Jesus, But, is available in ebook format and can be downloaded to your Kindle or Nook. Whenever Bob speaks, people are eager to purchase this book afterwards. But sometimes parents inform him that their kids will not read anything that they can't put on an e-reader. Well, now that is no longer a problem. So if you want a book that can help everyone in your family offer better answers to good, skeptical questions that people ask about Christianity, go to Amazon.com or barnesandnoble.com for I'd Like to Believe in Jesus, But by Bob Siegel, now available for download as an ebook.
Welcome back to 1170 AM, 96.1 FM, The Answer. I'm your host, Bob Siegel, joined with National Review contributor Mike Friedenberg.
So to kind of just conclude this, Israel certainly is no fan of Erdogan, and they would consider him an enemy. Saudi Arabia sees him as an irritant, sees him as not, they're not happy with him either. However, both Jerusalem and Riyadh agree that the main problem is Iran, far more than Turkey is the problem.
I don't think anybody could deny that.
Correct. Well,
Iran
is the biggest
threat in the world right now.
So by getting out of the nuclear deal with Iran and reimposing sanctions on the Islamic Republic, Trump showed that, unlike Obama, he understands that Iran is the major threat to regional and global stability. Those are very clear things, clear differentiators between him and Obama. It shows he understands what's happening there in the Middle East and that Iran was not a reliable partner you could count on for anything. So to contain Iran, Turkey is an essential partner. It has the second largest army in NATO. It has a major air base in Incirlik. It has major naval bases on key waterways. So President Trump wants to be able to rely on Turkey to carry that part of the load. If he doesn't have Turkey to rely on the load, then that means hundreds of thousands of U.S. troops in the Middle East again.
That being said, Turkey didn't need to launch an attack like, 2 days after we left? I mean, that really didn't help things.
It did help things, but you know what? This is a group of people, of terrorists, that were enabled by Obama that have been killing Turkish people all along. This is the people that stabbed Erdogan in the back when he was trying to do peace. So there's a lot of anger there. You can sit here quietly. It's like, you know, a lot of people do about Israel, calmly talking about Israel, what Israel shouldn't do when they're not living there. The Turkish border and these folks have been bad actors. So these are the people that come across the border and kill their people, Bob. So they were chomping at the bit to do it. So it was embarrassing. And frankly, you know what? And we don't have right now the strongest relationship with Turkey.
Yeah, and then Trump went back and put sanctions on them, so it didn't really work out all that well.
No, he did put sanctions, and now they have I don't know how long it's lasted. They are now talking about trying to negotiate something longer term because of the sanctions that Trump put on. I'm sure that was part of it.
Yeah, I just looking back think negotiating something like that before we left might have been good. But again, it is complex. You and I don't live there. There is a lot of hyperbole about this, and I think the president, to his credit, will adjust things when he feels he's made a mistake, and he's already made some good adjustments.
Yeah, he's already made some adjustments. So, as I said, this is just to provide the other side without any kind of, it's far beyond me to say, here is the three-step process to cleaning up this mess. I think it's beyond anybody, really, frankly.
So you don't have a plan like John Kerry had with Iraq? He had a plan, and we weren't going to get to hear the plan unless he was elected?
Frankly, could be wrong again, but I think that if we let Russia gain a little bit more influence there and gain some more responsibilities, it could be a nightmare for Russia.
Yeah, good luck if Trump says anything that even sounds like a positive comment about Russia.
No, I'm not saying anything positive.
No,
I know. I'm just saying it's like letting, Russia had a nightmare in Afghanistan.
Letting our enemies go at each other is not a bad strategy.
No, the Soviet Union.
It's not bad poker.
I mean, as it was the case in Afghanistan, it was a disaster for the Soviet Union. And perhaps Russia having a bigger role in some of these areas where they now are responsible for this stuff could be a nightmare for them as well. I mean, it may not be all bad, but I don't know. So anyway, it's complex. There is two sides of the story. I'm not willing to say that what Donald Trump did initially was wrong. I'm just saying that it could be wrong and maybe in the nuances of how he did it. But the big picture is we don't want Turkey to leave the NATO allies at this point. We don't want to be involved with killing Turkish troops to defend terrorists who until 2014 were recognized by the State Department as terrorists, who are regularly killing Turkish citizens. That's just not a war we should be involved with. So, you know, now, one of the things we had talked about a bit earlier was the Department of Justice and them actually now declaring the investigation has moved from a just investigation to criminal investigation. And that's interesting, because once you move to the criminal investigation aspect, you could do subpoenas, you can impanel grand juries, you could call people in for testimony. I mean, there's a lot of power there. And as you've probably read, Bob, there's already a lot of State Department and members of the Intelligence Committee are lawyering up. They're lawyering up.
Well, and I do believe this is directly related, because I think we have a lot of culpable people in the House of Representatives, too. I believe that this second attempt to impeach Trump is because they know, I think they're trying to run out the clock on this Barr investigation.
I will say this. They wanted to impeach Trump, but I believe that Nancy Pelosi has better information sources than you and I do in terms of what's happening in the investigation. Okay. And I believe that when they announced that they're really looking closely at Ukraine, that tipped it for her. Not because, you know, of anything beyond, like, she now says that's more evidence now to get Trump. She framed it that way. But the tipping point was that she, as you said, they realized that a lot of this investigation of these deep state actors, the people that did really make a coup attempt against the president, they have connections to many members of the Democratic Party, probably including her, probably including, well, we know this ship has deep state connections, because that whistleblower, so-called whistleblower, you know, the third party, yeah, third person whistleblower guy, he was working with Schiff before the, so that was a deep state collaboration with a Democrat.
Always changed the narrative to make it look like Trump is the one doing exactly what they're doing. So the narrative now is, oh, Trump's just doing this investigation because he doesn't want to get impeached. No, they're impeaching him because he's doing an investigation. It's the exact reverse.
And they were very successful. Them getting that, the Robert Mueller investigation going, that Trump,
what a waste of our country's time for 2 years.
But he could not effectively move forward during that period of time.
What was it, 1 month, 2 months before they moved on to this stupid thing about the Ukrainian phone call?
But even though they weren't able to come up with any kind of offense that Donald Trump had committed, that 2-year investigation did shut down his ability to investigate the corruption that had occurred, the corruption that led to the unmasking of people that should not have been unmasked, that led to people working to plot to undermine and counter intelligence operation against the major political opponent that was initiated, if I'm to believe Andrew McCarthy, former attorney general, that could only be initiated from the president's office, i.e. President Obama. So all this stuff there. So then this second phase here is once again to stop the investigation, to shut it down. And then if you do start to see people start to convicted, then the narrative will be, this is just vindictiveness. This is a partisan DOJ by a partisan person.
Yeah.
You know, it's,
and look at how fast, I mean, as soon as the Mueller report was finally out, then he started this investigation. Look how quickly they had to turn up something else.
They did. So this is not necessarily about impeaching Trump. It's about keeping him off balance and making it harder for him to complete the investigation, and that if he does actually get anything done, then allowing them to spin it the way they want to spin it.
Okay, Mike, well, unless the deep state outlaws our radio program, we'll have you on again really soon.
The Bob Siegel Show, sponsored by Bob Siegel.